Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look to the great feasts of St. Peter and Paul. They're celebrated together. This is a great feast, and it's considered a solemnity. That ranks it pretty high on the list of feasts. And I love the introduction. Again, that Magnificat magazine tells us it summarizes the two of them, Peter and Paul. There couldn't have been greater difference between two men than there were between Peter and Paul. They're very, very different. And yet God used them both for the preaching of the gospel. Never think, oh, well, I'm not like that, therefore I couldn't do this. No. The question is God calling you? If he is, then he supplies what you need. This introduction is very pithy. Peter, a poor fisherman, was called by Christ to lead and care for Christ's entire flock. Feed my sheep. It was Peter who received a vision confirming that the good news was to be preached to those the Jews considered unclean. That is, the pagan Gentiles. Paul, the former Pharisee, carried out the missionary mandate. In the course of his preaching, he was flogged, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and attacked by brigands. Very different lives, and yet both called to proclaim the gospel. Both Peter and Paul ended their ministry in Rome, both of them, around the year 54. Tradition holds that Peter was crucified upside down and Paul was beheaded by the sword. They're two very different men, and we celebrate their feast today. Two very, very different sets of gifts, and yet both of them completely committed and given to Jesus Christ. And look what he did with the gifts that they had been given. Look what God did with those gifts. Because both Peter and Paul, like John the Baptist, had come to the place where they could say, "Thy will, not mine, be done." It took them a while, but they got there. And once we get into that position, like we talked about last week, once we can say, "Your will, Lord, be done in me today, not mine, your will." When we get into that position in our faith, God can use us mightily. Peter and Paul, there could not have been two more different men. Personality, sets of gifts, weaknesses, it's all there. God used both. O God, who on the solemnity of the apostles Peter and Paul, give us the noble and holy joy of this day. Grant, we pray, that your church may in all things follow the teaching of those through whom she received the beginnings of right religion. We've got to go back to the scriptures, brothers and sisters. Got to go back to from the earliest teaching of the church. Pay attention. Pay attention. Don't get off on the wrong track. First reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword, and when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He had him taken into custody and put in prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. So people are praying. On the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers while outside the door guards kept watch on the prison. That's pretty well guarded, wouldn't you say? Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him. Would you like to be awakened by an angel? Saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Can you imagine? You'd be groggy. You'd be, "What is this?" But Peter obeyed him. And then he said to him, "Put on your cloak." and follow me. Took care of every detail. So he followed him out, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first guard, then the second, came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." There's a lot more to come, but what a chapter. What a chapter in Peter's life. The angel of the Lord, says Scripture, Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Is it in yours? Let my soul glory in the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard him from all his distress. He saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. Memorize Psalm 34. It's worth it. And apply it to your life. Second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, and then 17 to 18. I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation. The time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was going to die. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and from now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. Can you say that now? Can you say, I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Whether you're going to die tomorrow, you're going to die 50 years from now. Where are you in relation to this passage? Where are you? Are you willing to compete? Are you willing to fight as to win? Are you willing to open your heart to grow in your faith so that it does sustain you in times of difficulty? Paul goes on to say, the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat. He will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you say that? I know that the Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. He had confidence in that because he had surrendered everything to God. God was everything for him. And God knew it. Therefore, God could supply to use him according to his good purpose. Are you in a relationship with God like that? You can be. You can be. Ask for an increase of faith. Ask for it. Keep on asking for it. Read the scriptures every day. You will grow in faith and your purpose in life will become much more clear. Receive the Eucharist as often as you can. Repent of your sins. These are the means that are given us, brothers and sisters, that we might be able to say what Paul said. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" I love this gospel because every time I read this gospel, that's what I have to stop and do. I have to let Jesus say to me, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You died for my sins that I might live forever. You have poured out grace through your Holy Spirit to lead me in truth, to lead me into union with you, to lead me to come before the face of the Father. My goodness, brothers and sisters, our destiny is infinite. It is. We're not infinite, but in Christ, if we live in him, when we die, his death brings us to eternal life. That means we will live forever as disciples, as sons, as daughters of the living God. And that's very real, and it's very personal, as well as being global. Well, it's even far, far greater than global. It's the whole universe. And even then, it cannot contain God. This is a time, brothers and sisters, to look at Peter and Paul, to see the different characteristics they had, some that caused them a lot of trouble. Look at them. Look at the good. Look at the struggles they had. And then put your life beside them. You have a set of gifts. You have a set of struggles. The Lord wants to use those gifts to bring many, many, many people to himself. And he wants to use your weaknesses and your sins, your faults. He wants to use them for your humility. Because if we're truly humble, if we know that we are sinners, if we know it and understand it, then we will always look to God as the source of our help. That's what enables him to trust us with more, because we're not looking at ourselves as the source of accomplishing something. We're looking at God. This is God's plan. I want to be part of God's plan. If he is the source of wisdom and truth and beauty and goodness, if he is the source of all the strength I need, I want him. I want him as the source of my life. I want to drink from the fountain of living water every day. I want to feed on the body and blood of Christ daily, because that nourishes me and sustains me to follow him. I'm not a lone ranger. I can't accomplish holiness by myself. I can only accomplish it as his disciple, as his child. Continuing with this passage, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so, because of that, I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter betrayed him. Peter turned away and denied him. And yet look what Jesus gave him, because Peter had put all his trust in God, not in himself. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.